forward to hearing from you. In your wonderful name, amen.
You had to do that, right? Yeah. Now, good morning, everyone. Daniel, he's a minute man. He's the time police. So I don't have that much time to speak up here, but Bob told me I can go for like 99 minutes, right? Is that right? So I'll just put the timer right here, 99 minutes, and we'll see if we can make it. I love these conferences. I love seeing everybody again. A lot of you I see every year. Some of you are new. It's all amazing. Now, God always has something special. He always does something. And I can mention, I've been here 7 times now, I can probably mention 6 earlier major things in my life that God has done right here. And who knows what He might have this year? Who knows what He might have for you specifically, for me specifically this year? All I know is that it's not because of this place. I like it. It's Sweden, but it's okay. I like the place. But the reason why God does something is because God's people are coming here to focus on God through His Word. That's why it's special. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. We're going to focus on God through His Word. So please open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's get into it right away. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, when I read this, I can't help but think this is kind of unnecessary. It's superfluous. I mean, of course Paul doesn't want them to be ignorant, because he's writing about the topic. Imagine if he had started like this. Okay, chapter 12, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to know anything. Okay, job's done. Chapter 13. Of course he doesn't want them to be ignorant. He's writing about it. So why is he stating the obvious? Well, maybe it's because he wants to state the obvious. Maybe these people were ignorant. Maybe they were using the gifts in a wrong way. Maybe they didn't know what to do with the gifts. I think that's why. We read in chapter 14, which we're going to look at tomorrow, chapter 12, that Paul is writing to them, since you are zealous or eager for spiritual gifts. These Corinthians, they were zealous about the gifts. They wanted to use the gift. They wanted to have fellowship with God through what He had given them as a church. And that's great. That's profitable. We should be doing that. But it seems like these Corinthians, they were going way too far off the other end, where they were being too zealous. Maybe they were using the gifts with their own knowledge and wisdom and not with the guidance of the Spirit. They were ignorant. They were doing things in an improper, in a disorderly way. Ignorance. And that's why Paul is now going to go into this topic of spiritual gifts. And he's going to pretty much use 3 chapters to talk about it. With, you know, chapter 13 in the middle, which is the great love chapter. But even that also speaks about spiritual gifts. So Paul does not want them to be ignorant. And we're going to begin here, these first 11 verses this morning, with a few basics. A few short things about the spiritual gifts that we need to know. And then we're going to further develop our knowledge about it in the coming chapters. So Paul continues in verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed or condemned. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, dealing with these spiritual gifts that the Corinthians obviously have and are using, Paul wants to look a little bit at their background. Where were these people before they got saved? It would seem that maybe, as we're going to see in chapter 14, one of the gifts that are being misused specifically is the gift of tongues. And in dealing with that, Paul looks at their background. Corinth, as we learned last year, maybe you remember, is a Greek city. They're Gentiles, meaning they're not Jewish. They didn't grow up with a Bible or the Old Testament. They didn't grow up knowing Yahweh, the God of the Bible. They don't have that background. Before they came to Christ, before someone come and shared the gospel with them and they got saved, they had no idea about the living God. So that's a background we need to keep in mind. They were worshiping idols. They were pagans. They didn't have knowledge. They didn't know how God was working. And that's their background. Now, it says that these idols are dumb. It doesn't mean dumb as in stupid, in unintelligent. It means mute, unable to speak, silent. That's what they were worshiping. Small little pieces of wood that can't speak because it's wood. I mean, they were probably also unintelligent because it's wood, but that's not what he's talking about. They were silent, they were mute. So every time they came together for a sort of service or whatever, and these dumb idols would be prophesying, or the priest of the idols would be prophesying or saying something, it was a lie. It was fake. It's wood. It would be if I stood over here and said, okay, now the pulpit can speak instead of me. That's what they were worshiping. Now all of a sudden, having come to Christ, they met a God who actually speaks. Amen? Now they're worshiping a God who speaks. And they know it. They know the difference. It's not like, okay, it's just another God, you know, and he does something different. They know the difference. Now God is speaking to them. And you could probably imagine how easy it is to fall into this trap. I'm used to a God who can't speak, and now all of a sudden, I worship a God who gives gifts of speaking in different tongues. Now all of a sudden, I can speak languages that I never even heard of before. And people can understand languages they never even studied before. That must be the greatest gift. You can see how their background formed their theology. How what they used to worship formed their view of God now. And that's why they were ignorant. That's why it didn't work out. And you're going to see how serious it is in verse 3. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Their ignorance of the gifts was so serious that it allowed false teachings to sneak in. It allowed false prophets to come in and say, hey, I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, and I'm saying something wrong about Jesus. But I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. That's how serious it is to be ignorant about the gifts. Because you can get all kinds of stuff in if you don't know the Bible, if you don't know what God is saying with his gifts. And that's why Paul now gives this principle. Very simple principle. Number one today. Practical principle. And it concerns all the spiritual gifts. Not just the gifts of tongues. It's this. Does it glorify God? Does it exalt the Savior? When Jesus taught about who the Spirit is, then when the Holy Spirit would come, he would teach us. And one of the main things the Spirit is doing on this earth is to point people towards Christ, exalting Christ, leading people to him. So that's his ministry. We see that in John chapters 14 through 16. Now, if that's his ministry, his gifts are going to do the same. His gifts are not going to call Jesus accursed. His gifts are not going to say anything else than Jesus is Lord. That's what the Spirit does. If there's any gift that does not do that, if there's any gift that in any ways present lies, falsehood, wrong ideas about Jesus, teaching another Jesus than the one we know from the Bible, if they glorify the person using the gifts, not the Spirit. Either not the gifts of the Spirit, or not being led by the Spirit while using the gift. One of those two. That's the main focus. When God's gifts are being used, they cause people to say, Jesus is Lord, and not anything else. Number one principle, does it glorify God? Now, we need to be careful as well. Having a Christian background or non-Christian background, wherever you come from, be careful not to let your background interpret your view of God right now. If there's false teaching that you experienced once, don't let that shape your view of who the Spirit is. And that can be anything. A lot of people out there teach that he's a force. He's some, you know, kind of magic feeling that you get. He's not a person. If that's what you have in your background, that's going to shape how you look at God today. So be careful not to use that. Be careful to look into the scriptures today and see what does it say about God. Paul then goes into describing some of the gifts, or the manifestations of the Spirit, as he's going to call them too. And he's going to begin now with three different words that we're going to look at from these next three verses. So reading from verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. So the first word, gifts, that's kind of like the overall. So now we're getting into the gifts of the Spirit, right? All of them are gifts. You can't work them up yourself. You can't earn them. All of them are gifts given by God. You can ask for them. You can pray for them. But you can't earn them. You can't train for them yourself. That's the definition of a gift, right? You have to get it. Someone has to give it to you. So that's kind of like the overall. Then you can divide that into two groups. The first one Paul gives is ministries. Ministries. That's the Greek word diakonia. I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. It means office or service or ministry. So these are probably the ones from Ephesians 4, specifically verse 11, where it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. That's kind of like the offices that God has given to the church. That's the positions you can have in the church. You can also maybe include that of bishop, an elder, and deacon from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. They are specific ministries or offices that you can have in the church. What defines these is that they're permanent. It's a permanent position. You're not, you know, a pastor one day, an apostle the other day, and the next Sunday you kind of just relax and sit back. This is 24/7. You don't switch around. If you're a pastor, you're a pastor. It's permanent. Now, the second group of gifts is what he calls activities. That's completely different. Still a gift, but it's different. It's the Greek word energemata. You can sort of hear where we get the word energy from. This means an effect operation, or maybe more precise, an active, miraculous power. Sounds awesome, right? Active, miraculous power. These are the ones we usually talk about when we say the gifts of the Spirit. These are all the, I guess you can say, charismatic gifts, healings, miracles, gift of tongues, all these things that are extraordinary. Out of the usual. Now, what defines these is, it's not a permanent position that you have. You don't have the ministry of being a miracle worker, and that's all you do all the time. You go around and do miracles. Or the office of speaking in tongues, that's all you do all day, you speak in tongues. It's not a position in the same way that the ministries are. But rather, they're gifts given to you in a certain moment, for a specific time, where God wants to give this, where he has something to do with that gift. You might have the gift permanent in the way that you're given it day by day or week by week, and then you can say, okay, that person has that gift, but it's not a position, it's not an office in the same way that the others are. That's the difference between the two. Now, what's most interesting about these verses is, look who's connected to these gifts. In verse 4, 5, and 6, you have the Spirit in verse 4. You have the Lord in verse 5. That's usually referring to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And then in verse 6, you have God the Father. Kind of see a pattern there? The Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. The whole triune Godhead is connected to these gifts. It's all of them. You can't separate the Spirit and say, okay, he's the weird cousin over there. He's the one with all the crazy stuff. No, the whole Godhead is in connection with it. That's all the technical stuff we need to pull out of this. So what is Paul saying? What is he trying to get at? He's looking at this background, the pagan worship of the Corinthians, and their overemphasis on certain gifts. And he's saying, okay, look guys, there are diversities of gifts, ministries, and activities. But it's the same Godhead behind all of it. There are diversities, differences. So don't focus on just a few of the gifts. Don't focus on just a few of them. Since the same God is behind all of them, don't think that some of them are exalting God more, some of them are better than others, the person having this gift is better than all the other Christians. There are diversities, there are differences. They might be different, but it's the same God who works them. That's our focus. Not the gifts specifically. The value of the gifts is the same, if God is the same. And especially when we use our gifts, when we use them together, when we use it alone, be mindful to look to God for unity. We have the same God. We should look to that and create unity in the church instead of saying we have different gifts, so we need to stay away from each other and create disunity. Let's seek unity in differences because we have a united God. It says that it's the same God who works all in all. No matter what gift, what ministry, what activity you might have, God is the focus. God is the focus, not the gift. Not the gift, not the people using the gift. If you're using the gift in a way that draws attention to you, you're doing it wrong. You're not the focus of your gift. It's the gift of God. So we shouldn't be ignorant about that. Now we come to the list that maybe you all have been waiting for. This is not the list, it's a list of spiritual gifts. And you're going to be sitting here thinking, oh, which one do I have? Which one do my neighbor have? Which one is the best of them? You might be thinking all that, but that's not Paul's focus. That's why, even though there is a list, we're going to go through it, but it's going to be pretty fast. So try to hang on. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So the manifestations of the Spirit, again, just to clarify, these gifts are to manifest the Spirit in certain situations. It's not that he's closer to us in those situations, because we have him inside of us. He's living in us. So it's not like we're more holy when we're using the gifts. It's just God is more visible, more apparent when we're using the gifts. But we always have him inside of us. Notice that it says also, these gifts are given to each one for the profit of all. They're given to individuals. They're supposed to be used so that everybody can profit from them. If you use them in a church setting, everybody should get something from your gift. It's not just for you. It should be used to edify the church, the body of Christ. That's the Spirit's mission. not just a single person. If your gift only edifies yourself, if it's only good for you, that's fine. Do it at home. Use your gift at home. If it's only for you, then why do it in front of others? That's not going to help them. Exactly the other way around. It's going to draw attention to you. Because you're over there doing your own thing while we're trying to have a church setting, trying to have a service. If it's only for you, that's fine. Use it at home. When you use your gift in the congregation of God, use it for the profit of all, as it says. Okay, let's look at the list. The first one is the word of wisdom. This is the ability to speak wisdom from God, more specifically in practical stuff. This is the practical handling of maybe a dispute over doctrine, a dispute between people. It can be solving difficult problems in the church. It could be defending the faith in a difficult situation, or just regular practical advice to other people. When God gives wisdom in those situations, that's the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge, that's to give or to declare knowledge or to get knowledge that someone could only have if God gave it to him. Say for instance, Bob has a problem. He has some inner anxiety that he doesn't want to tell anyone about it. But then all of a sudden God gives me knowledge about that without anyone having told me, and I'm able to speak into that situation and help Bob. That's the word of knowledge. Faith is the next one. Faith, of course, is essential to all of us. We're saved through faith, right? But this is a different kind of faith. The faith that we all have, the saving faith, that I guess you can say that's kind of the normal faith, but the gift of faith is something extra. That's like Peter walking on water. That's when God gives you the gift of daring to do something for the Lord in an impossible situation, where you go beyond what you... We don't always go around like that. We don't always think, I can walk on water. I can do this. Imagine how our lives would be then. But sometimes God gives the gifts of faith. He tells us, you can do this, just trust me. And then we do it. That's the gift of faith. Gift of healing, or healings, I have to say. It's plural. That's an S on the end. That's important. This is God's healing power. He can give this to heal someone. He can give this to a believer who needs healing. He can also give it to another believer that gives it to another one who needs healing. So you as an individual can get healing and you can give it if that's what God is giving you. It's important that it's not a gift. It's not a ministry. It's not like you're walking around and you can heal anybody. Look at Paul. Paul healed a lot of people. But he couldn't heal himself. He couldn't heal Timothy. It says right there in 1 Timothy 5 that he has a lot of infirmities. Are you kidding, Paul? Why are you not healing him? Because he wasn't granted to heal in that specific case. So it's many gifts, plural, because they're given from time to time. It's not a gift that you have all the time. Then you have the working of miracles. Now that is extraordinary. That's the unique act of power to do something, where the Spirit just disregards all the laws of nature, everything that we think is normal, and he just does what he wants. That's pretty much a miracle. When God does what he wants, not caring about the laws that he set up for us. Examples of this could be raising people from the dead. Could be throwing out demons. It could be maybe if I lost my arm and then it grows out again. That's a miracle. It's not a healing because it's not a disease that I don't have an arm. It's a miracle because it grows out again. Should be impossible, but God can do it. Now, the last three are kind of connected because you really need the gift of faith if you want to work a miracle or if you want to work a healing. So they're kind of connected. Then we have the gift of prophecy. That's the telling forth of God's word. Usually we think of prophecy as foretelling the future, seeing future events, but both in the Old and the New Testament, the gift of prophecy is just speaking what God wants you to speak. You can get the gift of prophecy right here. Without telling the future, if God gives me the gift of prophecy to say something specifically to you, that's also prophecy. It don't have to be about the future. Prophecy can also contain praise to God. It can also just be me saying how wonderful God is. We see that in Luke chapter 1. Also notice that in Ephesians 4 we saw the office of a prophet, and now we see the one-time gift of a prophet. So that can be both. You can have that as a position in the church, and you can get just a one-time gift, saying something that God gives. The next one, my personal view, one of the most important gifts in the 21st century. Discerning of spirits. That's the ability to know right from wrong. That's the ability to know if a spirit is from God or from man or from the enemy. That's the ability to know, are people using their gifts to glorify God or not? Satan, he's the father of lies. He's deceitful. He can manipulate the gifts. He can appear as an angel of light. He can copy whatever God does. He's not that creative. He usually just copies what God does. But the discerning of spirit, that gifts, is to know, okay, is this from God or is it not from God? Is this a false teacher? Is it not a false teacher? Can you look around the world today and say that's not needed? Can you look at all the televangelists and all the false religions and say this gift is not needed? I think it's more needed than anything. To know right from wrong. To know two genders from six genders. What's right, what's wrong? That's the discerning of spirits. Then you have the different kind of tongues. This can be the ability to speak a language you never heard before. For instance, Swedish. I mean, that's the gift of tongues right there. No, just kidding. But the gift of tongues is if you're able to speak a different language. Or, and the other way could be to speak the, I guess you can say, language of the Spirit, the personal prayer language, where you're speaking in the tongue of the Spirit, speaking to God, worshiping Him. That's the gift of tongues. The interpretation of tongues, of course that's related, is to being able to interpret that. If you can interpret a language you've never heard before, or interpret what someone else is saying in that tongue of the Spirit. That's the interpretation of tongues. If you want to know more about that, wait for chapter 14. We're going to go in great detail. It'll be great. That's tomorrow. Just to clarify about this list, if you look at this and you think, I'm not in here. I'm gone. I don't have any of these. Don't worry. Because Paul is going to give more gifts at the end of the chapter. We're going to see that after the break. Paul also lists more spiritual gifts in Romans 12. And he even has a few, not Paul, but Peter has a few in 1 Peter chapter 4. And we also have a few in Ephesians 4. So if you're not in here, go to one of the other ones. You're in here. Don't worry about that. And even if you're not, do you think the Spirit is limited to a list? Do you think the Spirit can't enable you to something else than what He put right here? He can do what He wants. He can use you however He wants. He's not limited to this. Now, I told you that this list is not the important part. This list is usually our focus, but it's not Paul's focus. And he really finishes off this in the best way that he could. Because look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. He's just gotten through the whole list, and now he brings focus back to God. Back to the Spirit. We want to focus on the gifts. As I said before, is mine better than Daniel's? What does Moritz have? Does he have something I don't? What about the rest of you guys? Am I better than the other one because of the gift that I have? That's not Paul's focus at all. Not at all. It's on the Spirit. It's on God. That's why he finishes this passage like this. He's saying there's one Spirit, one God, but many gifts. Many gifts. And he's in charge. Paul, being who he was, he could easily have finished off by saying, look which gifts I have. Look which gifts are the important ones. Because those are the ones I've been given. He could have done that. He probably had many of them. But he didn't. He turned focus back to God. And that's why I want to go quickly through the list and then go back to God, because that's what Paul is doing. He's focusing on God in all of this. The Spirit distributes to each of us individually. Just again to remind you, if you're not in here, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Good thing, good. Another basic principle about the gifts. No one has all of them. Everyone has one, at least. You have a gift. You might not know what it is, but you have a gift. Each one individually. That's important to remember. There's no super Christian. Not even Chuck. Not even Paul. Not even David Gusick, though I really, really like him as a teacher. There's no super Christian who has all the gifts because he's more spiritual than everybody else and God loves him more, so he gave him all the gifts. Doesn't exist. On the other hand, there's no person that God left alone. There's no person where God said, you can do your own thing. You won't get any gifts. Try it out yourself. See what you can do. God doesn't do that. We all have a gift. None of us are left without. Now, I think there are a few tendencies that we people might have. We as human beings. That's what I want to finish off with. So, I won't be going for 98 minutes. Sorry, guys. But to finish off, two common tendencies that we can have. I pretty much have both. So, if you feel condemned when I say this, just know that I'm a sinner too. Two common tendencies. One of them is we can exalt our own gifts. We can look at our own gift and think, you know, if everyone else were just more like me, the world would be a better place. If everyone had the same gift, we could just use it together. There would be no confusion. It would all just be paradise. People need to be more like me. Then that would be great, right? We can think that. Maybe not that much. That's just me. But we can think that. We can have that tendency. But that's not what we need. I don't need more people like me. I need more people like Jesus. That's Paul's focus. On the other hand, this is me too. On the other hand, we have the tendency to exalt someone else's gift. To say, wow, his ministry is awesome. His gift is awesome. I want to have that gift. Mine is not that great. You know, I wish I had a better one. We can think that too. I don't really want to use mine because it's not as good as Bob's anyway, so, you know, I'll just do it at home. But we don't have the same gifts. And we're not supposed to have the same gifts. We're not supposed to. We shouldn't strive to see some missionary or some pastor or some apostle that we read about in a book and then be more like him. We should strive to be more like the main character in this book. And the reason why we have the gifts is to build up each other to be more like Jesus, to build up his church. Funny thing about that, if it's one and the same Spirit, the same God, the same Lord who's behind all of the gifts, do you really think that any of them are unimportant? Do you really think that any of them are not necessary or less valuable than the rest of them? Sounds to me like God made a mistake with some of the gifts. He did a good job on the half of them, and then everybody else who got, you know, the terrible gifts, God made a mistake. Let me tell you something. My God doesn't make mistakes. He's too big for that. He doesn't do it. He didn't make a mistake when he elected you, when he saved you, when he presented you to Jesus Christ and his cross. That wasn't a mistake. And when he gave you his Spirit, gave you gifts and talents, he didn't make a mistake. He gave you a gift for a purpose. So if you might be thinking, you know, my gift is not as good as this guy, don't. Is it a gift of the Spirit? Okay, use it. I think what Paul is trying to say here is, don't look at these guys with the awesome gifts. The gifts where God is speaking, even though you used to have gods who couldn't speak. Don't look to these gifts of miracles and healings, all this cool stuff. Don't look to the pastor. Don't look to that cool guy who's up there all the time giving all the announcements. That's not your focus. Use your gift. Don't look to anyone else, but look to Christ. And use your gift for him and him alone. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this text. Thank you that you have given us gifts, that you have equipped us. Thank you, Lord, that you want to be with us, that you haven't left us alone, haven't left us orphans. You want to build us up. You want to commune with us. You want us to be united around you. We praise you for that, Lord. And I want to pray right now that if anyone in here doesn't know their gift, Lord, show it to them. Show them what you might have for them, what you want them to do. Lord, help us all to use our gift for your glory and your glory alone. Amen.
We will now take a 15-minute break and be back in here at 3 minutes till 11, where our next session will start. So, see you then.